As trust in the banking industry is at an all-time low, and this week the news has broken about Westpac's further fall from grace, the Australian public are fairly questioning what's gone wrong. Industry insider Joseph Healy is a former senior executive of two of Australia's major banks, NAB and ANZ, and has written a new book, Breaking the Banks, to explain the problem. He spoke to The Wire's Annie Haswell.
Selling money is one of the easiest things that you could ever do. And selling money to people who can't afford money is a very dangerous thing, but easy thing to do. And of course, if someone is selling you a loan that you can't afford to repay, then the consequence for you as an individual or the small business that you might run can be quite drastic. And so treating banking as if it was a white electrical goods business is totally contrary to the way that banks were intended to operate. I mean, traditionally, people looked to the banks for the degree of trust and felt that the advice that they would get from the banks would have their interest very much at heart. And unfortunately, the aggressive sales culture that came to dominate the industry saw the customer not as a customer in need of advice, but a customer who should be sold as many products and services as possible, even if those products and services were not in the interest of the customer. And unfortunately, that attitude to the way the banks operate caused chaos in the United Kingdom, with two of its major banks, both Bank of Scotland and the Royal Bank of Scotland, almost collapsing except for government support. Now, that obviously didn't happen here in Australia.
However, you do note that that created a sense of complacency here, that bankers thought they were clever because we had survived.
A high level of complacency. And in fact, what we're seeing today is an Australian financial crisis, which is a crisis of confidence, of trust, of culture, and of reputation. And it's my view that that type of crisis is a much more serious crisis than a, let's say, a crisis of balance sheet or profitability. Because the erosion of trust and damage to reputation is not something that you can put right in the short term.
Now, one of the things that you start by talking about, as we said, is social license, and that's what the banks used to have because we thought they were there for our good. Is that an outdated concept in so many ways everywhere, not just in the banking industry?
Well, the concept of social license is controversial in industry, but I feel quite strongly that it is highly relevant to banks. If a bank got into difficulty with the prospect of collapsing, then we, the taxpayer, through government, would bail them out. In that measure alone, it's not a normal private sector firm. The four-pillar policy protects any of the major banks from being taken over. In a normal market economy, if a bank is performing poorly, then it is always at risk of someone else, a better management team, trying to buy that bank and run it in a different way. So it's protected from failure and protected from takeover. And the major part of the funding of banks through deposits are guaranteed by the government. So these are quite unique and privileged characteristics of an industry. And for that reason, I view the banking sector as a quasi-nationalized sector. And given that, and the concept of social license is highly relevant, the primary reason why banks are given these privileges is they should be there to serve the needs of society. That should not conflict by running the bank well and making a respectable profit. But the customer and the communities in which the banks operate should be high amongst the considerations and priorities of the banks. And unfortunately, that is not the case.
Even after the Royal Commission?
Oh, yes, it's not the case at all. I mean, I don't believe that they will change their attitude and culture. I mean, we saw that with the last rate reduction by the Reserve Bank of 25 basis points, and all of the banks used that as an opportunity to improve profits by passing on only part of that 25 basis points. Now, given just how high societal angst is towards the banks, and given how profitable they are, a socially aware bank and CEO and board would have said that the right thing to do is to pass on the full rate reduction, and they chose not to do that because they feel that the criticism will eventually go away and they can return to the habits of old. It's very hard for them to change absent what I would describe as a public policy intervention.
Is there any government brave enough to do that, do you think, these days?
My sense is that we've not really had that kind of leadership in government in Australia since Keating and Hawke. Of course, the banking industry is a powerful lobbying industry, And so whilst there's a need for a significant change in the industry, I don't think the political will is there to bring that about.
And what about from the consumer point of view? There are alternatives like building societies and local state banks that seem to be more reactive to their customers' needs. How's that doing things differently?
They have a role to play. But the reality is that the major banks have been allowed to become so powerful, largely through acquisition and mergers. The sheer size and power of the major banks make it very difficult for real competition to take place. And that's why this is a matter that really requires a public policy intervention, because absent that, whilst there may be a whole number of smaller players, the sheer dominance of the major players make it difficult for any meaningful competition and consumer choice to be evident.
Joseph Healy, author of Breaking the Banks, speaking to The Wire's Annie Haswell.